are so wonderful, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Well, I'm really nervous. Well, I was praying about what I was going to talk about tonight, and God put on my heart what he has for your life. He has a plan for your life individually, and he cares so much about you. And I have a scripture actually that I want to share. Matthew 7:24. Those words I speak, you are not, oh Jesus, accidental additions to your life, however, improvements to your standards of living. These are our foundational words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who builds his house on a solid rock. Rain poured down and a river flowed and a tornado hit, but nothing moved the house. It was fixed on a rock. Jesus Christ is your rock. He is your solid rock. Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Lord, if you just give everything every day to God, step by step, wake up in the morning, pray, read your Bible. It's hard sometimes. It's hard in this world we live in. But just get up every morning and pray, read your Bible anytime. Just get to God every day. Because every day you give to God, he will have your way in that day. And every day, so every day he has your way, it'll form your life. And you will be on that path that he wants for your life. He has a plan for your life. So just build your life on that solid rock. And just, God is so good. God is so good. He will bless you. Just live day by day for him, and he will have that perfect plan for your life. I know people worry about, oh, I'm going through this, I'm going through that. I can't do this, I can't do that. Like, what's God doing? I'm confused, I'm lost. But that's his plan in your life. Just go through that, and it's his plan. It's all in his plan. And, yeah, just follow God, do his will, and he will have his way in your life. Okay.
Amen. Well, we have another special individual, and this individual is one who was baptized and actually received the Holy Ghost on October 17th, was baptized on October 24th, one of our very own, Terrell Washington. We want him to come up at this time.
All right. And I'd like for Carl Grant to come up here. You know something? Brittany came to me and said, Brother Grant, she says, I'm going to be your granddaughter in law once removed or twice removed. I said, we want to announce the engagement of this couple. Yes.
We love you, Carl.
They will be united in marriage here at Calvary Gospel Church, May 14th. That's Saturday, May 14th, 2011. Let's give them a great big hand. And would you stand with me? Go ahead and stand, everyone. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Carl got off a little light. He always has a special word, not always a word of wisdom, but just a special word. He is indeed the funniest person that you'd meet on this planet Earth. But I love him. I appreciate him so very much, my grandson. And we are just thrilled to welcome Cecily into our family. She has been greatly used of God in our music department. Incredibly talented person. Carl's been preaching. Gave his heart to the Lord when he was a young child, and then straight away. But he has come back to God. He started preaching and been preaching in the Ignite service. And we wish them well. I think they have a bright future ahead of them. We'd like for the ushers to come. This youth service always gets a little wild. The young people, they clap over things that, well, you'd normally clap over, but they have no moderation in it. They just really clap. Now, look at these gentlemen taking, I'm sorry about that, okay? Please forgive me. This beautiful lady, incredibly beautiful lady, and these so-so guys up here, you know? The ushers on the outside will receive our building fund offering. Inside will be the tithes and offerings for the church. I appreciate so very much you contributing to the plans. We are revisiting our plans, redrawing them to make our building somewhat cheaper. Maybe I should say less expensive. We should have those by December 31st. And I'm all excited about it. But if you have not given your pledge, please do so as soon as you can. And any pledge that you make for the plans can be made, put in any offering. It doesn't have to be a special offering like tonight, but a Sunday morning, Sunday night, as long as you just earmark that. But tonight, the building fund, every penny that goes on the outside will go in the building fund. Inside will be tithes and offerings for the church. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for such a great gathering, for a great time of worship. Thank you, Lord, for our young people so dedicated and given to you. I thank you, Lord, for protecting and keeping these young people from the evils of the world. And I thank you, God, that they have dedicated their lives to you. I also pray, God, your blessings upon all in attendance. And thank you, God, for this offering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, turn around and shake hands with a guest before you come down. We welcome all of you to Calvary Gospel Church.
Serve an awesome God tonight. How many of you are ready for some preaching tonight? How many of you are ready for God to do something in your life tonight? I tell you, God is just so awesome. You know, in the spirit of being able to preach in Brother Phil's stead on this youth service evening or whatever, I dressed appropriate. I got some new shoes. So I'm excited because they're color-coded. Even my socks match. And I have to pull out my shirt tail probably to really, really look like youth. Or maybe just half. You know, like, they like go around like this. God is awesome, isn't he? I've been to some of their youth services before. I've been to some of their youth camps before. And this is the way they look, other than their ties are up about here. I don't know why they ever decided to wear them so short, but they go around with their ties here. They got an extra long belt and it's kind of hanging out a little bit. They got their shirt tail hanging out. They may or may not have a suit coat on, but they certainly don't have dress shoes. It's all about enjoying church, isn't it? Isn't God awesome? I am just... You may be seated. I am so pumped up and so excited. I'm telling you, God has done so many wondrous and marvelous things in my life. How do you say thank you to someone who shed his precious blood for me? How do you ever pay that back? You can't. I can't and you can't. But I've determined that as long as I'm on this earth, and as long as I can still eat, take nourishment, sleep, and breathe, I'm going to cause as much chaos in the enemy camp that I can. Every time I get up and preach, and I've told this before, I want to preach like I'll never preach again. Every time I come to church, I want to make sure that lives are changed. You know, the enemy of our souls, I am so sick and tired. I'm so sick and tired of listening to his garbage and his lies. You know, I'm connected with some of the young people harass me, so I'm connected with Facebook and Twitter, and I haven't quite learned how to tweet yet. I've attempted a few times, but I really don't know what to tweet about. So I'm in the observation mode. And it amazes me how many, not just young people, but how many, I'm tied in with a lot of you folks here in the church. How many people just struggle? And they just are frustrated. They have all of these different things going on in their lives. And of course now, you know, it's posted everywhere. The whole world can read it. And thinking about all of this and looking at who we are, I am so convinced, Brother Phil, that we live so far below where God wants us to be. I don't know where my life's going to end up, but ironically, the shoes I'm wearing say vision on the shoe. I didn't realize that. I robbed him out of Code's closet. He left a few things. He's coming back in a few weeks. He may ask. He told me not to tell anybody, but he posted it on Facebook. So it's like, all right, dude, something went over that. I'm not for sure, but it's supposed to be here the December 1st or December 2nd. And I'm excited about that. But tonight, God is wanting to do some powerful things in your life and in my life. And I want to preach to you tonight for the next few minutes so you can set your watch. You want to time me at 4 minutes to the hour of 7. Thought I'd help you out there. If you can be anywhere from 3 to 103, I guess, depending on how many is there. So, what do you think about when you think about God? Now, I have an awful lot of scripture tonight, and I told the overhead personnel that when I get going and I start feeling my wild youth oats coming out, it's got to be the shoes. That's all I can tell you. When you were a kid, you know, if you had new tennis shoes, they'd make you run faster, right? I don't know if they make you preach harder or not, but God, my God is. That's the title of my message tonight. My God is? Question mark. What is God to you? If I were to take and go around this room and ask each and every one of you a question, what is God to you? If you asked yourself this question, my God is, and then you had to fill in the blank, how would you describe God? Where would you begin on your journey to take and try to describe the Almighty God? When you look at His awesome power and you look at the awesome authority that God has, where in the world do you start? When you try to take and describe God, we could sit here for weeks upon weeks upon weeks, each and every one of us writing down and coming up with our definition and our descriptions of what we think God is. When we take and we look at our vocabulary and we look at all of the adjectives that are in the English language and all the words that we can use to describe something like God, for some reason, when I sit down and I try to write out what is God, what is God to me, there's not any words there. You want to come up with some new special word, but it's just not there. How do you describe God? When I try to take it and I try to understand God and I try to look at what God is and what God has done in my life, and you try to take and you try to understand all of this, and I look at it and it's just like I come up empty. It's just, how do you take something like God and put it in description? How do you take and describe something like God? How do you try to take and understand something as vast and as powerful as God? Now, it can be done, because it has been done. I just haven't done a very good job of it in my life, trying to take and say, how would I describe God? My God is, because He's so many things. What He is to me, and what He's done for me, He may not be the same for you. Because everybody has a different experience with God. Would you agree with that? We all have different experiences. My experience is going to be different than your experience. So when we look at God, and we look at God, God is the creator of all things. If we believe the Bible, and I sure hope if you're here tonight that you believe everything in this book, as a pastor says, from Genesis to maps, if we believe the Bible, we believe that God is the creator of all things. He created everything that is, everything you see, everything you breathe, everything you eat. God created. God is the creator. All things were made, and all things were created for His glory. And I look at the universe. I look at the universe and I love, and I've mentioned this so many times, I love going outside and just gazing at the stars. I don't have a telescope. Maybe someday I'll buy one, set it up, but I just like looking at the stars. I like looking at the heavens as a whole, just because it reminds me of just how vast God is and how small and insignificant I am. When I look at the vastness of God and I look at the universe, How large is the universe? Does anybody really know how large is the universe? Now, we launched back in the 80s, I believe, a Hubble telescope that went up out of the Earth's atmosphere so that they were able to take and they were able to get a better grasp on what's going on in the universe without all of the clutter and the pollution that they have down here on telescopes that are on Earth. So it's up there in space, and it gets a lot better shot. And it's just a super high-powered telescope, and Go online and look at some of the awesome pictures that has come out of that telescope. It's incredible. It's incredible when you look at the cluster of stars and you look at our universe and we look at how big our universe is and we look at how expansive it is, and every part of it, every time I look at one of those pictures, all I can think of is God is. My God is the creator of all things. God created all of that. He created it all. Everything out there. And when you look at the universe and then you try to take in concept, I can't wrap, it's hard enough to wrap your mind around God, something that doesn't have a beginning and doesn't have an end. And you look at the universe and everything we have on this planet has a beginning and an end. That's what sin does. That's the result of sin. There's a beginning and there's an end. We're all going to die someday. We were all born someday. This building at one time had a beginning, and it's going to someday have an end. Everything here. Well, how many cars have we gone through in our lives? How many Big Macs have we eaten? They've had a beginning and an end. But when you look at God and you look at space and you look out there, and space just keeps going on and on and on. And the more they discover and the farther they're able to look out, the further and further and further it goes. Is there any end to the universe? Is there any end to that? When we look at light and we look at how fast light travels. Now, light is the fastest traveling thing we know of, other than gossip. But if you look at light, light travels at 186,000 miles per second. Now, to put that in perspective, that's 671 million miles an hour. That's cooking. Now, if you can imagine that, 671 million miles an hour, that's the top speed of anything that we know of in the universe. It's the fastest thing in the universe. Yet when you look at light and you look at the vastness of our universe, boy, light's slow. Man, it sure takes it a long time to get there. We look at our nearest galaxy to the Milky Way galaxy that we live in. Our nearest galaxy is the Andromeda galaxy. It's 2 million. It takes light 2 million years to get from there to here. 2 million years. That's traveling at 617 million miles every hour. It takes it 2 million years to get here. That's slow. That's pathetically slow. 2 million years. The most distant galaxies that we can now see through our advanced technologies and such is 10 to 12 billion light years away. 10 to 12 billion light years away. And it's said, from what I was able to take and find and understand, a consensus of our universe, that to go from one side of our known universe all the way to the other side of our known universe, it would take light somewhere in the neighborhood of 28 billion years to cross what we know as our known universe. 28 billion years. And every 28 billion years is God. Now that's just, I can't imagine that. That out there, 2 million light years away, is God. I can't imagine out there that 28 billion light years away, I still haven't got to the end of my God. That's how powerful and how fast. Can we just wrap our minds around that for a minute? I can't imagine that. God is everywhere. He's everywhere. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. Everywhere you go, you will find God. We look at all of our solar system, and then we look at this solar system we're in, and I couldn't find a name for our solar system. I guess they haven't named it. We're in a Milky Way galaxy. We have the sun, and we're in a solar system, and nobody's thought to name the solar system yet. I don't know why, so we'll just call it number one. We live here in number one solar system. It's the only one we know of. It has a planet on it that's habitable like the planet of Earth. Out of all of this vastness, 28 billion light years. I have no idea how to even comprehend how many miles that is. And in all of that, there's this little tiny, tiny speck that we call Earth. That is our home. And that's where we live. That's where we are right now, in case some of you didn't know that. You are on the planet Earth. You're in the continent of North America. We are north of the equator. That's why it's going to be cold very soon and snow. That's why our toilet bowls flush counterclockwise. In case you didn't know that. They flush the opposite way when you go south of the equator. I bet, how many of you knew that? We got a few. We got a few in here. All right. You'll never hear a factoid like that behind the pulpit. Planet Earth, when we look at Earth and we think we've figured out everything there is on Earth, I mean, we do. We want to go out there and we want to explore the vast expanseness of space, and we don't even have a clue what's going on in our own back door. Because when you look at Earth and you look at all the complexities and everything that's going on this planet, there's so much that we have yet to discover. There's so much that science and that physics and all of these other smart people out there have yet to discover, botanists and all of this. Did you know that right now there's over some 10,000 species of animals, plants and animals, 10,000 species of plants and animals discovered every year, new species? Every year on this planet? 10,000. I don't think I could name you 200 or 300 before I'd have to start getting out some kind of a book and start looking. But 10,000 new types of plants and species of animals are discovering every year. Over 1.5 million species have already been described on this planet. So if you look in one of your plants and animal books, and it's the full unabridged edition, it would have somewhere between 1 to 1.5 million species of plants and animals on this planet. And projections for a total number of species range on Earth from anywhere from 2 million to 50 million species on this Earth. The deepest part of this Earth is Mariana's Trench. It's really, really deep. I forget how many miles it is. I want to say it's way down there, 35,000 some odd feet, 6.5, 7 miles. Then Mount Everest at 25,000 feet. We don't have a clue what's going on under the oceans. And God created every bit of it. Every bit of it. It's all created. Everything He created on this planet has a purpose. Well, I take that. There's one thing that I know doesn't have a purpose, and I'm going to ask Him when I get to heaven. Lord, why did you create the mosquito? I really can't think of any purpose the mosquito has. I think every species that could get along without the mosquito. So everything on this earth has a purpose, with an exception of the mosquito. You and I have a purpose. What are we here for? All the complexities, we look at serving God, and all the complexities of everything, of space and all the details on the earth, our finite minds could never fathom the grandeur and the awesomeness of God. He's described in the Bible that He has no beginning and He has no end. He's the first and He's the last. He's the Alpha and He's the Omega. He has unlimited powers. Unlimited powers. He's universally present and He knows all things. He's the author and the creator and sustainer of all things, living and non-living. Jeremiah 32:17 says He made the heaven and the earth by His great power and stretched out His arm. There is nothing too hard for Him. There's nothing that's too hard for God here tonight. He counts the very number of stars and He calls them all by name. And I can't imagine how many millions upon millions of stars are out there. And He knows every last one of them by name. He has them all named. What an awesome God. He calls them all by name. Great is our God and mighty in power, for His understanding is infinite. God is above all gods in heaven and above the earth beneath. Before Him all nations are as a drop of the bucket and are counted as a small dust in the balance. We're nothing but just a little bit of dust. Just a little bit of dust. Yet God is big enough to rule this mighty universe that we live in, yet small enough to live within our hearts and small enough to stoop down and bend His ear ever so low to hear our very heart's cry and our heart's anguish. His heart of love is touched by our griefs and our sorrows, and He longs for us to take in everything that perplexes us. He wants to know all about our problems. He wants to know all about our situation. He wants to know all about us. He wants to share ourselves with Him. And He wants to reveal Himself to us. My God is an awesome God. There's no chapter in your life. If you're here tonight and you think, oh, you don't understand my life. Listen, there's no chapter in anyone's life anywhere here on this earth that is too dark for God not to bring light to. Can we really understand and consider how big God is? Is God really that great of a mystery? Can we really know him? Can we really know who God is? Is there any way that myself or yourself, is there any way that we can really intimately know God? Isaiah, the prophet, declares, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? He takes all of the oceans and he can put them in the very palm of his hand and measure the waters in the oceans." He measures the waters in the hollow of his hand and he marks off the heavens with a span. Takes his arms and he reaches out and he goes, "Okay, there's a few billion light years. We'll go a few more billion." He marks off the heavens with a span. "The weight of the mountains and scales and hills in a balance. Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket. He takes up the coastlands like fine dust." God is the creator of the universe. He's the almighty ruler of the nations. With one phase, the earth was created. With one little sentence, the earth was created. "Let there be light." And when God said, "Let there be light," light appeared. Can you it just boggles my mind. When you look at everything out there, all the stars, and all God did was he just spoke it. He just said it. "Let there be light." And everything. God, the creator of our universe, the Alpha and Omega, he knows us each better than we know ourselves. How awesome is our God? The psalmist writes, "You know when I sit down and when I rise up, you discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my paths, my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before the word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether." He knows what you're going to say before you even say it. How awesome is our God? How awesome is our God? "You hem me in behind me and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high and I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? I ascend into the heavens and you're there. I ascend into the bed of hell." He's saying, everywhere I go, no matter where I go, no matter what I'm doing, no matter what is in front of me, God, you are there. You are there. My God is an awesome, awesome God. When I look into all of the scripture, and lately God has just really been laying this upon my heart so much about his word and getting into his word and reading his word and studying his word and knowing what is in his word. Because in his word, in this book right here, is our guidance. It's our life. If we don't have this word, we're defenseless. We're defenseless. We don't have anything to fight with. But he's given us this word. How many of you have your Bibles with you here tonight? How many of you have your Bibles here tonight? How many of you are ready to preach this next portion of this message with your Bible? When I start quoting scriptures, you start standing and you start wielding your weapon and you start facing off your enemy, because there are some of you and some of us here tonight that are struggling with all kinds of things and God wants to deliver it, but you gotta get your sword out. You gotta prepare yourself for battle. Whether you know it or not, you're in a fight. You're in a fight of life and death. It's spiritual life and a spiritual death. And you and I, we're going to spend eternity in one place or the other. And we got to bring out our sword. We got to dust it off. We got to use it. What is God to you? My God is. What is he to you? My God, he is. Psalms 23:3 says, he is my restorer. Everything that the enemy has taken from me, he will restore it to me. How many of you need something restored in your life tonight? He's my comforter. When I'm weary and when I'm worn out, he is my comforter. Because I read in John 14:16, he will be my comforter. Isaiah 12:2 says, he is my strength. How many times are we worn out and are we frustrated and tired, and we wonder where in the world is our next strength going to come from? And God reaches down and he touches us through something we read in his word. He's my strength. Isaiah 5:20, he's my redeemer. How many of you need hope tonight? He is my hope in Psalms 71:5 and Romans 15:5. He's my patience. Sometimes we need patience. We want God to answer everything, and we want it now. And God is saying, you know what? It takes 28 billion years for light to get across this universe. And from one side of it to the other, I'm there. There's nowhere you can go and you can't hide from me. Just be patient. Just be patient. Just be patient. Give me a little bit of time here. And so many times we get ourselves in so much trouble because we don't have any patience. We've run out of patience. Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 6 says, He is my resting place. He is my resting place. How many of you tonight need some rest? How many of you need some rest tonight? He is my resting place. John 16:33, He is my overcomer. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace, that I, the world, will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome this world. He's overcome. We can overcome. He is my light. He is my bread of life. He is my fortress. How many of you need a fortress around about you and around about your family? You know what? You don't have to put up, parents, young people, you don't have to put up with the junk that the devil shoves down your throat, because he's your fortress. You've got a fortress that is impenetrable by any act or anything that the devil can throw at you. There's not one word in this book that Satan can penetrate through. Not a word. But you know what? We got to have it with us. It don't do you any good to have your sword on the other side of the house when someone breaks in. When the enemy comes in, you better be ready. Because he will attempt to. He will try. He's the everlasting Father. He's my refuge from the storm. He's my counselor. He's my deliverer. He's my peace. You know, there's so much going on in this world today. This world is so chaotic. It's such a mess. People's lives are a mess. People's families are a mess. Jobs are a mess. Cities are a mess. Government's a mess. Everything's just a mess. There's no peace. But He is the Prince of all peace. He has a peace that surpasses all understanding. There's nothing like going to bed at night and closing your eyes and being in total peace. What an awesome feeling. He's my hiding place. He's my source of wisdom. He's my shield. He's my resurrection. He's my stronghold in the day of trouble. God's word is powerful. God's word is holy. God's word is righteous. And God's word is unchanging. And He's provided for me here tonight, Pastor, 66 books. 66 books He's provided for me and for you that gives us power. And within those 66 books, there's thousands of verses. He gives us power to overcome. How many of you have your Bibles here tonight? Hold them up high. Look at all the swords. Look at all the power. Look at all the power that we're wielding right now to the enemy. Hey, listen. Hey, it's an electronic sword. It'll work. If it's got the word in it, that's all I care. How many of you have the word on your phone? I love it on my phone. God is such a powerful God. When I look into the various books of the Bible, and if you look at every book in the Bible, you know, this book wasn't just given to us just for fun reading. It's not just a history book. There's history in it. There's romance. There's all kinds of things in this book. But this book was given to us for a purpose. And a lot of you younger ones, newer ones, I mean, some of you older ones that are here tonight, you know what? You may say, boy, Brother Roy, this is so elementary. I really don't need this. But you know what? We all go through trouble and we all go through trials. And you know what? Sometimes we forget. We forget what we have. We forget where we've come from. We forget where we're going. We get caught up in the moment. It can happen to any of us. It doesn't matter. But if we have this right here as our guide, if we have this book right here, this collection of books, and I love this collection of books, and I go through and I can read in here that in Genesis, what does Genesis tell me about who my God is? Genesis tells me that He is my creator. My God created me. He breathed His life. He breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul, and we became part of God. It tells me that I am part of Him, and He is part of me because He is my creator. I could go to Exodus, and He's my Redeemer. In Leviticus, He's my sanctification. In Numbers, He's my guide. In Deuteronomy, I can go through, and I begin to read about the Ten Commandments, and I can find out that He is my teacher. In Joshua, He's the mighty conqueror. I can read story after story of Joshua and the children of Israel as they went into the Promised Land, and they begin to conquer the Promised Land, and I can apply those lessons to my very own life and say, gee, God, You are a conqueror. If they can do it, I can do it. If Joshua can do it, I can do it. Why not? I serve the same God. I just live in a different time. I just live in a different time. Judges, He gives us victory over our enemies. And Ruth, He's my kinsman, He's my lover, and He's my redeemer. And 1 Samuel, He's the root of Jesse. And 2 Samuel, He's the son of David. And 1 and 2 Kings, He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And 1 and 2 Chronicles, He's my intercessor and my high priest. And Ezra, He's my temple, and He's my house of worship. My God is. God reveals Himself through every verse, every chapter, every line that we read in His Word. He's revealing Himself unto us, and He's telling us exactly who He is. He's telling us exactly who we are, and He's telling me exactly what my purpose in this life is. But He goes on. In Nehemiah, He's a mighty wall protecting me from the enemy. You see that story of Nehemiah rebuilding the wall? It had more than just one purpose. Some of you here tonight, you've let your defenses down. You've let your wall crumble. You've allowed the enemy to come in. The book of Nehemiah talks about rebuilding those walls, repairing what the enemy has torn up. It's not just in there. It's in there for a purpose. There's a reason behind it. I go on into Esther, and He stands in the gap to deliver me from my adversaries. The book of Esther is a beautiful book of Esther about a young queen. You need to go and you need to read the book of Esther. It's a beautiful book. We go on and we have Job. He's my arbitrator who not only understands my struggles, but he has the power. He actually has the power to do something about them. We could go on. Psalms, He's my song and my reason to sing. There's so many beautiful psalms. And so many of them have been converted and changed over into song. And we sing them, and they're so beautiful, they're so powerful. What makes them beautiful and powerful is because they're the Word of God. We're singing the Word of God. Ecclesiastes, He's my purpose, delivering me from vanity. Song of Solomon, He's my lover. My rose of share. And Isaiah, He's a mighty counselor, the Prince of Peace, the everlasting Father, and more. In short, He's everything that I could ever possibly need. And Jeremiah, He's my balm of Gilead, the soothing salve for my sin-sick soul. In Lamentations, He's the ever-faithful one upon whom I can depend on. In Ezekiel, He was life to the dead, dry bones. How many of us came into here and we were dead and we were dry? And there was no life left in us. But God, my God is. My God is. My God is. What is He to you tonight? What is He to you tonight? We can go on. Joel, He's my refuge. I can go on through every book of the Bible, and every book of the Bible tells me something about my God and what He is. We can move on into the New Testament.
We can read that in Matthew, he's the king of the Jews. In Mark, he's the chief servant. In Luke, he's the son of man, feeling what you feel. And John, what is he in John? He's the Word. He's the Word. He's the Word. And the Word became flesh. And the Word became flesh. And he dwelt among us. Oh, what is God to you tonight? What is he to you tonight? In Romans, or in Acts, he's power. He's Holy Ghost power. And Holy Ghost power, it's God. When I think about Holy Ghost, and I think about all the power that's actually in the Holy Ghost, and what the Holy Ghost is designed, and what the Holy Ghost is supposed to do for me in my life, and I look at the vastness of the universe, and I see all of the power, and all of the authority, and all of the holiness of God, it's all of that wrapped up in a small, dynamic package and placed right inside of me to give me strength to overcome. Oh, is God an awesome God or what? I can go on. In Colossians, he's my completeness. 1 Thessalonians, he's my hope. 2 Thessalonians, he's my patience and discipline. And Timothy, he's my faith. 2 Timothy, my stability. Titus, he's my truth. And we can go all the way on into Hebrews. He's my perfection. And James and 1 Peter and 1 and 2 and 3 John, all are read in Revelation. And in Revelation, he's my soon coming King. My God is, from the beginning of this world to its very end, there is no place that you could look and not see God. He's everywhere. He's everything. What is he to you tonight? If the musicians can come, and if you could stand. Colossians 1:7 says, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. I've just been feeling so many times that we don't really understand, and we don't really have a grasp of what God really wants to do in our lives. Last Sunday night, we had an awesome, awesome service. I don't know if you know it or not, but I'm going to close with this. Tomorrow, I was scheduled to go in and have full knee reconstruction surgery. And it was to be on this knee right here. Now, I don't know if you know much about full knee reconstruction surgery or not, but basically, the doctor told me from the, what do they call that, MRI that they take in your knee, that on this knee right here, if you can see this leg right here, that the ACL on the inside of my knee, about half of it was there, and the other half was gone. I've been hard on my knees my whole life. It didn't come all of it from prayer, I can be honest with you that. I abused my body and construction and a motorcycle. God didn't design knees to take the abuse of motorcycles. So here I am faced with not only just a half missing ACL tendon that they're not for sure where it went to, and my knee somewhere stuck in there, to a torn meniscus that they were going to take, and because I had it worked on before and part of it removed, they didn't want to remove anymore because they said it would be too damaging to my knee when I got older. So I'm looking at 6 to 8 weeks of recovery time. I know God is my healer. I've heard that many, many times. But it's another thing. It's one thing to tell someone that all you have to do is believe God will heal you, and it's another thing to be experiencing it and have to actually believe it for yourself. So I look at God tonight. God is my salvation. God is my strength. God is everything to me. But he's also my healer. You see, I understand one thing
Now I'm wearing these tennis shoes tonight because I can maneuver around a little bit faster on these than I can with cowboy boots. And I'm not just trying to show off tennis shoes, but you see, God is an awesome God. I couldn't do this for 6 months. I couldn't get down on my knees and get back up. I couldn't walk around on my knees. I couldn't sit back on my knees. Because you know what? I had part of it was missing. It wasn't there. I admit, when Brother Felix prayed for me, Brother Thomas got around and prayed for me, I didn't feel anything. I was hoping I'd feel some kind of a really cool burning sensation, like something was growing back. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't feel anything. And Brother Felix said, "How are you going to know if it's healed?" I said, "Well, I don't know. I guess I'm going to have to try it out." So I started trying it out. You see, you're not supposed to be able to do that because it hyperextends your knee and your tendon in there. That's what that ACL does, is it stops your knee from bending too far the other direction. So when the doctor told me you need to refrain from certain things, this was one of them. You see? Now, I believe God could heal me. I really did. But I didn't know if it would be an immediate healing or if it would be a gradual healing. But I do feel that God impressed upon me one thing as I was praying. And I was contemplating in my mind, what are you going to do next? Are you going to claim that healing? Are you going to claim what God has for you? Are you going to claim that financial miracle? Are you going to claim that those problems that are going on in your marriage? Are you going to complain? Are you going to take all of that stuff? Are you going to claim it? Or are you just going to take and just say it's for someone else? It's not for me. It's not my time yet. It's not my night yet. Listen, every night is your night. Every time is your time. Because as far as I'm concerned, and what I read about the Bible, is He's here. He's with you all the time. Yeah, yeah. He's going to be with us all the way to the very end of the age.